Everly.
I think that Congresswoman, Congresswoman Good Fox is here.
She's here. I'm not even on the.
I'd like to call the Osage Nation Membership Committee meeting to order. The date is March 26, 2018. The time is 4:02. My apologies for starting late. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Congresswoman Good Fox. Congressman Tillman.
Here. We have a quorum. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Mr. Lorenzo, would you like to offer an afternoon blessing?
God, Creator, thanks for bringing us all here today. And help guide us make good decisions. Help Congress make good decisions as they move through their session this month. And please look after the sick and the needy. Anyone out there who's hurting, please offer them some care. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Lorenzo. Next on the agenda is the approval of minutes. Take a couple of minutes to go over that.
Motion to approve the minutes for September 28th, 2017.
Hot corn.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Motion passes. Okay. Next item on the agenda is the update from the membership office of the Osage Nation. And joining us here at the table today, we have the director of the membership office department, Ms. Sarah Oberly. She is also joined by executive representative Mr. Corey Lorenzo. So welcome to the both of you. We're glad that you are here.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. The item on the agenda is just an update from the membership office. So Sarah, I'll turn it over to you and you can begin.
Okay. Right now, as of today, we've got 21,172 members.
We have some documents that we'll get those stamped in from the clerk, but if you want to continue. Okay.
It just breaks it down, just for your information, the five top states where most of those ages live, that's on there, the age 18 and above and below, and
not in her document that.
Yeah. Yeah, the age, the membership, and then the data. How many relinquished, how many that's passed away, the new members made this last year, and the CDIDs issued.
I have a question.
Yes.
Congresswoman Good Fox.
So I'm just curious as if the people that relinquish, if they, because, you know, per the executive branch several years ago, I amended that legislation to say if you relinquish more than twice, then you can't come back. And that was at the request of my brother JR when he was in that office. And so when they come in, you all do give them a form that they sign off on that they're keenly aware that if this is their second time, then they're not able to come back. I'm wondering if, do they provide why they're leaving? I'm just curious.
So we have a space there. Some use it, some don't.
Okay.
Usually, if they do put anything, it's to be a member of another tribe. And we do. And in fact, if one of the girls takes the application from them mm-hmm. and signs off on it, and you have to have it notarized. I have another separate girl that will notarize it. That way I've got two eyes that look on. And sometimes for some of them that may be young and don't quite understand, and it's their second time, I print out a letter and I ask them to see it. Just after they've read it, to let them know, sorry, this is the last time it's usually when they relinquish the second time. I said, we explain to them, if you do, there's no getting back, so.
And if there are any members that aren't rephrase this. If they have a family member who has guardianship of them, are the members allowed to come in and disenroll if they are not over their own, like, because I think we've had that come up too.
Yes, we have. If we are aware that they are under guardianship, then we would probably want something from the guardian, letting them know that they are disenrolling, relinquishing their membership. Now, a lot of people, we get guardianship mostly over children, but there is some that I've noticed that we have, because we scan everything in, and we'll flag it, or we've got a place they see notes, and you see the notes, and it's usually something like they're under guardianship, or unfortunately this mother doesn't have custody of her children, someone else does, so. Yes, and I know the one instance that you're talking about. So, in a perfect world, if we know it, and most of the times we do have it if they send it to us. And that brings up a good point, well, they have social services.
Can you all put something on your form that asks the question?
Sure.
And if the box is yes, then you know, and you might need to pull in whoever does have guardianship over them, because
they may not want to put that on there.
What clarification do you want on? I'm trying to understand what you want the form to actually say.
I'm wondering if someone has lost control over being able to make decisions per a court order, and they now have a family member that is over all of their legal matters and personal matters, if they can even relinquish their membership on their own when the court has said you don't even have control over making your own decisions from this point due to whatever reason, whether it's mental health issues or just old age or Alzheimer's, or, you know, can we even allow for them to come in and do that if they don't have control? And actually, Shannon's here at the table.
No.
So that's a question for a...
Well, does the application...
Congresswoman Edwards.
So, does the application ask if they're, you know, under penalty and perjury, that they are qualified to answer, to do this, and they haven't been declared incompetent or not under guardianship?
I don't go into that detail.
So maybe you could.
I do have her signature, 18 years or older, or guardian. I wish I'd have brought one, an application. But I don't have anything in there saying that you're not under guardianship, you know?
Well, maybe you could have in the certification that it could say that. Or just, you know, some boxes checked or something. So then at least you could figure out. And if that was the case, then you can, you know, look into it further. AG's office can help come over and figure out what you need to do to figure out if you're really of sound mind to relinquish your guardianship. I mean, to relinquish your membership.
Congresswoman
White. Well, the reason I was asking Congresswoman Goodfox her question, and thank you for answering, was I just was curious if it might be an issue that we would put into the law that it would address, how that's handled, or if it needs to be a policy measure on an application. You know, I know that sometimes there's a fine line between the two, what you should be able to stand on that's written in the law, or what you should be able to issue as a policy measure. And I think it's for your protection as much as it is the person that's making the application too.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Well, I'm not advocating that it be put in the law. I think that's, in my opinion, that's a policy. And I'm only making the suggestion, not, you know, if they want to do it, great. What I don't want us to run into is what we've run into in the past, which was someone who did not have any control over their own decision making for anything. Personal, health, everything. Guardianship had been given over to someone else, but they disenrolled themselves. And then they were without nation. They literally had no tribal affiliation. And so I don't want us to run back into that again. And then I started thinking about it, and Well, and you know, a couple of the family members were like, she hasn't had guardianship over herself in a while. And if we would have known that she was going to be doing that, we would have said, no, you're not going to do that. So, you know, it put a lot of stress on the family, because then, you know, then this person passed away and they were without nation. And they were a very big degree of Indian blood. And to not have a nation when you're that much Indian, I didn't like it. I don't think anyone liked it. But it was also something that we could have never, you know, we just didn't catch. We could have never foreseen. And that's going to happen, you know.
So really, what happens when a case, when you have children who's, and we talked a little bit about this at lunch, of how people will jump from tribe to tribe, depending on the benefits that they get. And unfortunately, it's a reality that happens. When you have these young children who are enrolled members of the Osage Nation, and their parents say, well, because of the benefits certain tribe over here is going to offer us, I'm going to take my kids, we're going to go over here. Then they jump back. That's one time. Then all of a sudden, we're going to jump because we're also members of this nation, and this child's growing up having to do this because their parents want them to do it. And then when they turn 21 years old and they're 25 years old, they're like, I want to be a member of the Osage Nation.
It's in the law that if they're 18 and their parents or guardians have disenrolled them or relinquished them twice, when they turn 18, it starts over.
Slate's clean.
And that's up to them.
Okay.
Yeah, so if they want to come back, they can at that point.
Good.
Can we pull the latest law and put it up on the screen so we can, it'd be helpful to work through that.
Do we know what number it is?
Has that been restated, the membership act?
I think it has, because I was just looking at the one in our book, and I don't think this is the latest one.
So what's...
And then you covered if they're mentally handicapped, if they're deaf, if they're... We have members that can't hear, and there's, you know, someone trying to tell them that, hey, we're going to jump and go to another tribal world. How are we covered in that area?
Well, it does stay in there, so if I think it... who just gave me this?
Sarah.
I think that it does cover in there, like Sarah said, that if you're under the age of 18 and your parent disenrolls you twice, once you hit 18, you're making decisions for yourself. And even if you have been, at that point, moved off the roll twice, you're able to come back and start making decisions for yourself. So I think that's where it covers up. But I don't think it gets that specific,
you know,
with what you're asking.
Who was first? Congresswoman Edwards?
Well, why I was trying to pull up the latest bill or act is there might be some way to craft language that would relate to guardianship under the 18 and over.
So,
I was just going to say, I have it right here, and it just says a parent or legal guardian of a minor who has relinquished membership in the Osage Nation in accordance with 1-205 may submit an application for enrollment to re-enroll in the Osage Nation at any time, but each minor may be re-enrolled only once. Upon subsequent relinquishments of membership in accordance with 1-205, the minor is no longer eligible for membership in the Osage Nation until reaching the age of 18. So that kind of...
What section is that in?
I think we got to look at 1616.
So minors get four shots.
They get four shots.
But see, we could also change that language to... It doesn't have to be a guardianship of a minor. It could be guardian of...
True. Now, up above there, we've got... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
An adult who has been adjudged, no, I can't even say that.
Adjudicated
incompetent or has been appointed a guardian may re-enroll as a member upon application of a sponsor. Upon subsequent relinquishment of membership in accordance with 1-205, that adult is no longer eligible for membership in the Osage Nation.
I think that was the amendment that I made.
Is that the amendment?
So does that not cover your situation?
Okay, so that was the amendment that I made 2 years ago. Because we did have that family come and say she should have never been allowed to disenroll herself when she didn't have guardianship. And so we amended this.
And I think we could follow through with, on the application, to have someone certify that they haven't, they don't have a guardian, or that they haven't been judged incompetent, or they haven't been made a ward of any court or whatever, because that, if they couldn't check that, that might give you a red flag that you need to look a little further and see what's going on.
So that would have to be for every member that applies from now on, just to have that language in the application, which is...
Yeah, why not? We just have to look at it, or somebody else besides me, but somebody would have to look at it, preferably a lawyer, and just see if that would help us in some way address the problem that you guys are talking about, which is an interesting issue.
Well, luckily, we've only had it once, so, you know, hopefully we won't have that problem again, but you never know.
Well, I know there's all kinds of interesting scenarios you can throw out there, especially when it comes to adults who are incapacitated for whatever mental reasons, and their guardians making decisions for them, and they're unaware or don't have the mental capacity to make that decision. And so I know those cases are few and far between, but they're still out there, and we still want to treat each constituent fairly. But when they don't know, that's when it becomes difficult. And is it for the benefit of them, or is it for the benefit of their guardian, or why they're jumping tribes? So, but anyway, we can address that and look at that, and maybe come up with some language with your help. And maybe you could research maybe other nations that have their policies and have their rules and how they apply that, just to see. So, but if you want to continue on with your update, what else is going on in membership?
Well, we've got a meeting coming up April 5th, a training with the Eastern Region VIA. They're going to be coming over to our office and spending the day, just update, make sure that we're doing everything correctly. So that's coming up now. The other thing that we're really working on now, and that's why Corey's here, he's my project manager on this, but I think you'll remember, Maria, before I kept wanting to get a photo on our membership cards.
Right.
Well, along with getting the photo, then it kind of snowballed, and to get security, to be TSA compliant, you know, we have to have a hologram, we have to have all these safety things on it, we've got to have the barcode on the back. So Corey's been working with the TSA, and we sent out RFPs for companies that could come in, and really Addy Roadforce is going to do the art design on the card, and then they're going to make it all, in other words, I'll be buying the cards from them and put them in and ready to go.
Say that again.
Which part?
Adding Round Hearts is designing a new card.
A new card.
And then we're doing what?
Well, okay, go ahead. Corey knows.
Mr. Lorenzo, please.
Thank you, Chairman.
And are we one of the only tribes around that don't have a photo?
I have looked up just about every tribe.
Every tribe that you know has a photo, and we don't. All we have is the white card.
I know I've told you all this before, but when I go to conferences and everybody, oh, here's mine. I finally, oh my, I left mine at home. I didn't.
Are you embarrassed to show it?
I was embarrassed to show it because it was just white. It was plain. It was nothing. And theirs was all fancy. It had photos and seals and all this stuff on it. And
okay.
I quit showing mine.
Mr. Lorenzo.
Thank you. So at the least, we'll be moving forward with a card with a picture on it, but in that scope, the chief has asked that we could have some type of ID that we could use to travel, that'll actually work as a second form of ID, and that'll be TSA compliant, because come October 10th this year, all IDs are supposed to be real ID compliant in Oklahoma. The state of Oklahoma itself, with our driver's license, has got an extension a number of times, and I assume they'll probably get one more extension, because as far as I know, they're not ready to become real ID compliant. But we've contracted out with a company. We're waiting to get the contract back, and this company is going to
help us create a card with security features on it with the holograms and with them. It's AAMVA compliant and Real ID compliant that will actually be able to fly in the Northern Hemisphere, anywhere in the Northern Hemisphere. And that won't happen until 2020, but I would say by the end of summer, we should have a card with these built-in security features that we could use at least as a second form of ID. And then in 2020, we'll have, because there's some infrastructure that needs to be in place before we have this other card that will work to travel within the Northern Hemisphere, and that we could use it and be TSA compliant. The interesting thing right now that I believe on October 10th it's going to stop is that if you have a tribal ID, you can use that to fly, but you can't necessarily get back into the state. Like if you fly to California, you'll have a heck of a time. If you fly to California with our tribal ID, you'll have a heck of a time trying to get back here with our tribal ID, because it's not TSA compliant or Real ID compliant. So that's, in the scope of this project, that's what we're working towards. And to be fully federally recognized, it's going to take till 2020 before it all comes together. But in the meantime, by the end of summer, we should have some nice looking ID cards that will take us halfway there, so to speak.
With a photo on it.
Yeah, with a photo on it.
Congresswoman Edwards.
So just so I understand, put out an RFP for a company to make to do this, and we bid it out, and this company was the one that was successful. And how are we going to engage everyone into getting these photo IDs?
Well, when it comes time, when we are production ready, we'll do a media campaign to promote this. And I think that eventually we want everyone to have one of these. So we'll give everyone, what was the grace period that we decided on?
A while.
At least a three-year grace period.
But we would like, you know, within 3 years. And then...
So are they going to send in passport pictures?
Yes. And be notarized. The signature and picture all need to be notarized to make it official so that we know that we have something legitimate to create for them.
The only thing I would caution is to make sure that whatever design is on this card, make sure people can read it. Because I'm having a lot of complaints. The health benefit card is a beautiful card, but it's the color of it, for one, makes it very hard to read. And so people are elders are struggling, you know, what's your card number? I can't read it. Of course, I complained about the last one. Remember when they had that fine print on the back of our health? Or no, that's our card for health insurance. Have you ever tried to read?
No.
I just keep thinking, what do they think? I mean, I'm not that old and I can't read a thing about it. So I would just make sure that you can, you know, it's easy to read. Otherwise, we're going to get in airports and it's going to be horrible.
Absolutely.
But hopefully that magnetic strip will help them at the airport.
So it's going to have, if you look on the back of your driver's license, there's that black
barcode.
It's going to have that on it. Eventually it'll have an RFID chip, because all of our IDs are going to need that in the future to be able to travel anywhere, especially if we go to Canada or anywhere, Mexico, South America, or anything like that. That is the future.
Really quick follow-up. What was the amount of money that we appropriated for this project?
Well, we didn't. You haven't.
Okay.
I do have money in my budget, but right now I'm having to wait and see, because I don't have any hard figures yet. IT is going to have to charge me something to make my machine do all this. And then, like I said, we've got a contract, an RFP, but they haven't come back with exactly how much. I'm hoping I'm going to have enough. If not, we may have to wait till the next fiscal year. I don't know.
Meaning it's coming out of contract monies in your budget?
No, I don't have contract money. It's coming out of my supplies.
And what about from Candy?
I haven't asked. Because I don't have an amount yet.
Okay.
So I can't really, I may have enough, but I don't know.
We put up an RFQ then.
RFQ.
What did we?
An RFP for a company. This the to have the card designed is going to cost between $12,000 to $15,000.
And didn't we have them bid the I mean, didn't we have the bid for that?
Yes.
That's what they bid for.
Yes.
And they said, so anywhere from $12,000 to $15,000, we're going to design the car?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're going to do all the security features on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm waiting for them to come back and say, oh, it's going to be $13,200, or it's going to be this, or it's going to be that. So until I have all the numbers, I don't know if I have enough.
And the other little piece that we're waiting, I was hoping to have that number today from Susan Vero with IT, yeah, is someone has to come in and write code to be able to transfer that using the hardware that Sarah already has. Someone's going to have to come in and write code to transpose the data onto the card.
So and that's that a probably contractor?
Yes, yeah, and that's a company that
it's
that we use with that she's CRM. With CRM exactly.
Yeah, and their contract monies.
So I just my question was because I missed the first 5 minutes or so of the conversation was when you keep saying ID because I know I've been. Talking, I met with you and also talked with Greg for a while, and he kind of had an initiative going on, but then I think he kind of held off because there was the talk of merging. So is this a merge of, because when you keep saying IDs, is it a membership card?
It's a membership,
also?
It's a membership tribal ID.
Okay.
Now,
so
Greg does the tribal yeah. ID, mm-hmm. and which I forgot to tell you, we are on these new ones, putting veteran.
Okay.
On.
I had it right here ready to say, like, that's all I want to make sure.
Yes,
get
it's going to have the flag and veteran on there.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've already got the new applications where it's like, we need the DD-214.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that with this Veterans Commission for the wall.
Yes.
And with Greg, that maybe somehow or another we can all get together because if they've already given it to Greg or to the committee, I don't want to keep asking them for the same information. I want to be able to go in and say, oh, I see you've already given the Veterans Commission your DD-214. I'll get a copy from them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they should be scanned. Is my understanding they were scanning them at this point now.
Okay, because what I'd like to do is have access to that. So if they say, yes, I'm a veteran, I was like, oh, have you turned it in?
Yeah.
Let me check. And they'll say, well, don't bother. I have it. So.
Right.
I would like that to happen.
Okay, good. So it is a membership card that's being like merged, so those tribal IDs will be no more?
No, he's still going to do them.
Okay.
He says he only makes maybe $3,000 a year on it, so mm-hmm. he doesn't make a lot of money on that. Right. The thing with it is he has to charge for his. I'm not going to be charging for ours. I mean, it's going to be free the first time. Now, if they lose it, you know, and they need a replacement, we'll charge. But again, another thing is they're going to be valid for 8 years and then they're going to have to, so we're going to have to set up a database so we'll know when they expire.
One more question. But with this membership ID card, that's the one that, because he's been working on discussing about real ID compliance with the standing IDs right now. So that wouldn't be the case with his. That's moving towards the one for membership.
Right.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Okay, well, this isn't really a Sarah issue, but I guess I would direct this comment to Corey, since he's here from the executive branch. To me, and what I'm hearing, well, the tax commission will continue on. I don't like that idea. And in my opinion, that's a waste of money. If we're going to go full with Sarah's department and the membership card and the ID, in my opinion, as someone that appropriates the dollars and cents to the executive branch, my vote would be to scale back and not do what the tax commission is going to do with the ID and just give this the full attention that it needs and do away with the other. I'm just not liking that. Like, I feel like that's a waste of the people's money, in my opinion.
The only reason that we said it like that is because they've got a law saying that they have to do that. So if you all, as a body,
want to amend it?
Right.
Those two.
It's a real easy email to the speaker.
Yeah.
Is it? See, I've never done it.
Mr. Lorenzo.
So this card that we're working on has kind of become a hybrid of the ID, because of the way the laws are written, it's become a hybrid. And definitely Greg's card would become a thing in the past for two reasons. Well, for one main reason is that you have to pay for it, and the one that we're offering would be for gratis. Mm-hmm. So it definitely would
at least once
would fade off. Yes, at least once.
So we need to amend the tax commission laws, what I'm hearing. Because I like the idea of going this route.
So we just have one card, and it's membership and an ID card, and it kills two birds with one stone.
I, for one, ended up going and got my my passport renewed, just because I was like, this Oklahoma driver's license isn't going to get me very far.
Exactly.
Except for Osage County pretty soon. I mean, I'm not going to be able to travel with it.
That's true.
Sir?
Just FYI, I've talked to Greg about this. I don't think he would be upset. He doesn't make a lot of money on
it. Does HR have a separate machine that they?
We gave them one of ours.
Okay. Maybe Greg can give them yours.
Speaking of prep.
Yeah, so I was just going to follow up with that, because it did, I think this was, the Real ID was in sort of an initiative of, so I'm glad that this all, it's taken a while.
Yes.
But I'm glad that it's happening. But this was a Greg initiative to try to move towards the Real ID compliance, and also he and I had discussion about the veterans identification. But I'm glad that you said what you said when you did. It was like, wait a minute, let's work on this. So I see it coming together, and that's a good thing. And I would be for, kind of dropping off the other one as well.
Or did you have something else? I thought I saw your hand up.
Kind of. My two cents, though, is that there is some cost in this card, and we're supposed to offer a membership card for free. And I don't want to go down that road. Never mind.
We want to. Well, today's the first day, Corey, and we're kumbaya.
I think offering the first one for free.
You're going to throw it out.
Charge.
Today's the day to
we
do it, Corey.
We should definitely charge for the second one, because there is going to be some cost.
I agree with that.
Some cost in this process.
And there's going to be members definitely that complain about that.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that I back up executive branch every single time I hear someone complain, well, I lost it and I had to pay for it. Well, you lost it. And you don't get free driver's license every time you lose that.
Now, on a name change, like if you get married, on the membership card,
she touched you when she said
she
that.
She did, and I know why.
Well, that was not the correct example.
Or what about when you get a divorce?
Now I'm not being you.
Order in the court.
Okay.
Sarah, go ahead.
That's free.
No more touching.
We don't charge for that. We do that free. We will not charge for the first card. And it's going to be good for 8 years. And then when you renew it, it's going to be free. But if you lose it in the meantime, we charge now for the membership, because it's in the law that we can charge up to $35. We charge $10 right now for the cards. And I'll be honest with you, most of our cards that we issue now, they're going to be just the regular cards, because they're for babies, and we can't do photos on babies. I mean, and toddlers. I know.
Now, you say the members are going to have a passport photo. Is that free to them? I mean,
no.
So it's going to be an expense.
Now, they say you can do it with a selfie, and something on these fancy phones can do it, and they can send it to us.
No, thank you.
Okay. Well, you have certain. I know a certain guy that's 80 years old, and he's not going to. Is there a cutoff date to where you can say?
If they live here, I'm going to have the capability to take their photo and give them the card as soon as they walk in my office.
How much is a passport photo?
I think it used to be 15.
They're not very bad.
Maybe $15. But if they live here, Homie, Fairfax, or wherever, drive them through, they can come and we'll take the picture, get them the card right there.
Can we not figure out how to go remotely? I mean, somebody logs in and takes their picture. You talk to them on WebEx or something, you take their picture, and
I'm not saying this disrespectfully, but a lot of these older, they're not going to know how to log in. I know one that lives 12 miles west of Fairfax that doesn't know how to log in.
I'm just saying it's an option.
That's what he has you for.
I know, I was just gonna say that. I was like, you and Chuck will log in for him.
I was gonna say, you're gonna have to teach Chief Tillman to how to take a selfie, because that was, and that's what was going on with Greg, is that he had people send in selfies.
They're going back to the manual typewriter too, because you can't hack it. So anyway, so we're looking at replacing 21,172 cards.
Correct.
There's an expense with that, and I'm curious, wanna know where the money's coming from, and what, you know, how we're gonna be able to pay for it as well, so. We'll talk about that, but that, you know, hard numbers.
Right now, like I said, I don't have hard numbers, so.
Right.
Until then, and if there, I mean, if worst case scenario, I may have to wait till next fiscal year and come and ask for a bigger budget to do it.
Congresswoman Evans.
See, that, to me, that just makes perfect sense of how this should happen, because now, in your plan for the next year, to say, my plan is to implement this, and here's how much it's gonna cost, and it's in the plan, and when we're looking at it with the budget, we read it and go, okay, I get this, this is what it's gonna cost. We ask these questions, it's right there, we planned ahead, boom, done. It's the, by the way, I've got an extra, I'm glad to hear you say you don't have this in your budget, because I mean, I'd be going, oh, wait a minute, how do you have an extra $25,000 in your budget that you didn't plan for? So I'm just finding day of hearing, I really don't think I have this money in my budget. But given that it doesn't sound like it needs to happen day after tomorrow anyway.
Just be ready to go. I didn't know it was gonna happen this quick. I've been trying to do this for a year and a half. So, like I said, until Corey got on board, I didn't know it was gonna be this quick.
Plus, I would recommend that you plan, because we are struggling with this health benefit thing. And you know. And temps just don't work.
Speaker Pratt.
Okay, quick question. Remind me, the cost is for like the cards, or because at one time you just that you needed a kind of expensive machine. So you have, how are you going to get the machine?
The machine Greg is going to let me have in my office. This was the original plan to do my IDs, and then he said he does them so seldom that if he had one, he can take it, just come over to my office, or have to send them over here, and I give them the travel.
Okay, so that's as far as printing, but then the expense now was the water marking, correct?
That's what we've got, that $12,000
to $15,000.
Okay, all right,
thing
I get it.
To get all this situated. Okay, I have Congresswoman Good Fox here. Mr. Lorenzo, I'll get to you.
Just to say that I think this is a. What I like about this is that it is planning, and you are able to discuss with 5 members are here, 6, including Congressman Norris, and you're able to get a temperature check of what kind of what we're, if we are thinking this is a great idea or it's not a great idea, and then we're not kind of blindsided with some big new thing that we haven't ever heard about, and you guys have already done 75% of the research or 75% of the legwork that needs to be, you know, need to be done. I think it's a great idea and would be a benefit to our members. So I'm pretty excited about it, actually.
Mr. Lorenzo.
Well, I'm grateful that you're all very receptive. I didn't know
what
the temperature was going to be.
Day one.
It's day one. Yeah, yeah.
When you said temperature, I was like,
Tim on a great day.
So
we were all swaying earlier. I could feel it.
I just want to take a moment. So this company that we're going to contract with, not only will they design the security features of the card, but they're actually going to produce the card for us, and then the hardware that Sarah has will print on the variable data, name, date of birth, expiration, the picture, and that. So that's kind of how that process will work in a nutshell.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, I'm glad to see the project maybe before, because we have been talking about this in membership for over a year now. So it is something that we have always decided to move to. We have had the discussion about tax commission still doing membership, still doing their ID cards, but if we're going to do a photo ID membership. So this has been on the table. for a while, so I see it's moving forward and we're getting some numbers together. And I still need to be clear on, so you say maybe by this October we'll actually have the membership card ID. Now, why is it that it won't be until 2020 until we'll be compliant? I'm not clear on that yet.
There, in order to...
That's the enhanced.
Yeah, in order to turn this... So this initial card that we're getting is going to have all the features to turn it into an ETC card, which stands for Enhanced Tribal Card. And the other part of that is there needs to be infrastructure put in place where we actually connect with the federal government to produce these cards. So there's going to be an RFID chip in the card. And this card will connect to a federal database, and that will allow us to be able to travel out of the country. And when the way that the new passports are actually going to be cards too with an RFID chip. So when you come to the border, they'll be able to read your information and look at you and look at the screen and make sure that everything jives and that everything looks good. In the Northern Hemisphere, yes. Our card will work.
Can I continue?
Yes.
But the card that's going to be possibly be able to be issued by this October will be a card that's able to be used across the United States for identification purposes and air travel.
Right.
Okay.
And we're going to push and just get it and get some numbers. It may be earlier than that.
Yeah.
The worst case scenario is I don't have enough, then I have to wait till October until we do budgets again.
Is there I think you just answered my question. I was just trying to see if you could get some numbers together so you could come back during this session. So as Congresswoman Edwards said, so we can plan and so we'll know what we can expect, what you're going to ask for. And I get what you're saying. The first part of it is just to have the photo ID card and what you call ETC, and then the other one for travel, federal.
Well, it'll become an ETC card in 2020 once we get that infrastructure with the software where we connect with the federal government.
And is there something you could say, language that could say, to the constituents that, look, this, your old one card is no longer going to be any good as of this date? And that pretty much tells them, hey, I've got to get this done or this one's, it's not valid anymore. So
I'd kind of like to wait and see how many volunteers want to do it. And then, maybe after the first year, they would say, okay, look, we still have half the tribe or half the members that don't have it. And then they want to start saying, okay, you all have
till such and such.
Okay. I'd rather do it that way than right off the bat start threatening with,
So I think that just to share this verbiage with you as we move forward, at ETC Ready is the card that if things go as planned, we should have by the end of summer. And be ready to move into production. So it's an ETC ready card. We'll just need to jump through those next hoops. There's testing that needs to be done. Like I said, there needs to be that infrastructure. Sarah's going to have a locked area in membership where materials are stored. So that's the next level that we need to go to. And the Creeks have this card, the Cherokee have this card. I believe all the five civilized tribes have this card.
And you, end of summer, you mean the summer solstice date that?
Well, yeah, like by August.
September 21?
August or September. Somewhere in there, yes. Okay. We'll have our ETC ready membership ID cards.
I'm confused then.
Okay.
I thought you didn't have any money. You don't have money to do this.
No, I have money in my supply line. But I don't know if I'm going to have enough until I get hard numbers.
Yes. Yes.
But what you're doing is contracting somebody to do certain things. How are you paying for that contract?
Well, they haven't given us a number yet. Right?
That you're just going to buy money out of supplies?
They've given us a range, but we don't have a hard number. I may be able to cover it. I don't know until I see it.
I understand that the card itself would be a supply, but I don't understand that somebody doing some work to create the things that you're talking about predating the card would be a supply. All the definitions in the... for the law, move the money if you can. Just please, because it's extremely hard. Some of us like to track how we spend money. And if we're spending money that's in the supply line for the contract, for contract work, that doesn't gel.
Right.
Question. Are you going on to another subject?
Say again?
Are you going on to another subject? Are you quitting or what's going on here?
No, I'm just,
he only has 10 more minutes.
Conducting the meeting. Congresswoman Edwards.
So today I brought up the issue of trying to keep track of people that are enrolled and disenrolled, and I'm looking at the law, and we talked today, and one of the things about the law says that you're charged with enrolling new members and disenrolling members, and then it says you send us a monthly, and you know, maybe this is the, I hate ever getting into the membership law because somebody comes up with something else, but for our purposes, I would like for us to have a list of the people that are enrolled every 30 days and a list of the people that are disenrolled every 30 days as an official document so that we know if there's ever a question, this is when it happened and this is who it was. Because what we're getting, if I understand it correctly, is just a new membership roll every 30 days, right?
Yes.
And I suppose you could go back and track that, but I think it would be helpful for us to also have, these are the people that got put on the roll in this 30-day time frame. These are the people that got that. Otherwise, you've got to research every membership roll and figure out when they might have been added or taken off. So it looks to me like a couple of words could be changed to make that clearer. It says I can, okay, we can go look at the language. At,
where do you want me to go?
What line?
To the membership office. Like duties of the member, yes, further down.
What number?
Well, I keep going.
Right. Establishment there. Of a membership office?
Uh-huh. Keep going. Okay, it's right here. They're charged with enrolling new members and disenrolling members who relinquish their membership. And then, see where it says, the membership office shall maintain a current and accurate membership roll and forward a list of enrolled members' names via secured means to the clerk of the Osage Congress. To me, we could tweak that just a little bit and say, and enrolled and disenrolled members during the relevant time period or whatever. To me, we ought to make it not so that we just get the roll, but that we get the list of the people that were enrolled and the people that were disenrolled.
Sorry.
To change it instead of where it says where we send it, just change that to each month those members that become members that month, those that relinquished and those that died.
Yes, except for we're also charged with by the Constitution with keeping the roll.
Okay.
So we'll have to have the roll too.
So that'll be two, okay, the membership. Because we already sent you the membership, the relinquishments, and the deaths that we know of. So then we could just do, it wouldn't even have to be on a disc because it would be pretty short, just a list of members that month, the relinquishments, and the deceased.
Right. Enrolled and relinquished. Well, it says enrolled. Does it say dis? It just says disenrolled, right? And you're disenrolled by dying too, right?
True.
So all we need is enrolled and disenrolled.
Okay.
Let's see. This person, official record. Oh, wait. Should I maintain? Okay. Go up a little bit ways. It says enrolling new members and disenrolling members who relinquish their membership. Do you actually relinquish your membership when you die, or you do? I mean, how does that, what do you do?
You'll keep your number, your okay. membership number,
uh-huh.
because that's how we got you filed, but we do mark deceased, and it pretty much.
Are you disenrolled or are you just relinquished? No, if you keep a number, you don't
really disenrolled. You're dead. Yeah, pretty much.
So you're not disenrolled.
They're not disenrolled, to be honest.
Right,
and
but
have
relinquished.
You disenroll them, and we were talking that you had to have the death certificate until they're officially.
I need to have the official death certificate before I can mark them deceased.
So maybe where it says maintaining an official record of those persons who have relinquished membership, died, or been removed by final court order, all we need is one list that says enrolled members, disenrolled members, relinquished membership, and deceased. And that way we could track, if we had to, and you could track, with one piece of paper or one little document, that information.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, do you want the law to be clearer on that?
Just look at the law and just tell us what your suggestions that maybe that you have to get to the point that those were members.
Well, I have to send you the current membership roll, all of it. What I can do now is send you the disc that has all the memberships on it, and then I can send you a separate, if it's paper you want, however you all want it, I can put members as of April 2018, and I can list all the new members, deceased in the month of April 18th, those that are deceased, and disenrolled or relinquished in the month. Mm-hmm. And I can just do that on a monthly.
So maybe what I'll do at that number four, put in an official record of those persons who have been enrolled, comma, relinquished membership, comma, died, comma, or been removed. And then that record in something like updated every 30 days or something like that. That way you're making one little piece of paper that's got all that information in it, and then you ship that to us, and we've got the official membership roll, and we've got a list of who was added, died, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Sir, when you get this paper here, it says new members made 2017, 2018, 943. Mm-hmm. Do you have a breakdown of some of those newborns?
A lot of ours are newborns. I don't have the breakdown, but I would say the majority of ours are babies being born.
Okay, but there is a certain number in here that someone just said, hey, I'm Osage, I'm 18, 20 years, whatever.
Right.
Okay. Can you break that down?
Not by year.
I think we're trying to get into a monthly. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes, and I was looking at those numbers too. I think that information would be nice to have. But also, I have a curiosity between the difference between the new CDIBs that were issued in comparison to the memberships that were issued. That seems to be a pretty big discrepancy. Is that a standard for that number usually, or is that just different for this month?
This is for the year.
For the year.
It's for the year. Mm-hmm. But there is still a lot of Osages who have a CDIB card that think, because they got that green card from the other, that national council, mm-hmm. they think they're enrolled. But believe it or not, they do. They'll come in and they say, no, I'm enrolled. And I'm like, no, or they just never got enrolled. Mm-hmm. There was no reason. They had their CDIB mm-hmm. card, that was all. And now that we're offering more services, a lot more of those that never had a membership are now wanting a membership card. So that's why you'll have more members than CDIB holders. Because
we're just drawn from the random population that's not new people that.
Congresswoman Edwards, did you have
a couple of things I wanted to just, I wanted to ask if in this next time we can get can it break down 18 to 64 and then over 65, because that over 65 is a number that we utilize for health benefit.
Yeah.
Okay, you want 18 to 64 and then 65 and older?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I wanted to let you know that I've been, my interest was piqued this morning with these numbers. This is great information. So what it looks like based on the numbers that I saw from 2017, and I was just looking at the chief's numbers, which aren't the same as the numbers that you sent this morning. Those were from you, thank you. The numbers that came from this morning, so you might want to figure out why. The chief said this morning that there were 11,364 people enrolled. And what I got this morning from you, I guess this is where it came from, is that there are 12,706. And the total enrollments now for 18 are 12,005. So based on the number that we got officially from, that says Osage Nation Tribe Health Reimbursement Program, the report from 1-1 to 12-31 is 12,706. That's more than we have enrolled this year. You might want to clarify that. So anyway, based on what I see here from what you gave us and these numbers, 60% of our people are enrolled in the health benefit program. It's not just a card, it's a program. So anyway, okay. Interesting information.
Yes. Good numbers, good information. It's getting time to wrap this meeting up. I appreciate everybody's conversation today. Sarah, thank you for coming in and taking your time. I know you're off the clock at 4:30, and here you're being a trooper going an extra 30 minutes for us. I appreciate that. And Mr. Lorenzo, I know you're 24/7 all the time as well, right? But thank you all very much. So, motion, chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
There it is. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.